The Plot, Part 1. This message was preached on Wednesday, the 26th of October, 2005 at Assembly of Faith Church, Calhoun, Georgia, and is one in a series of messages by Brother Amos. This was the first convention in the United States of Saints following continuity after the death of the chief apostle, Brother Raymond Jackson. This was Brother Amos' first trip to the USA after the ministers at Faith Assembly, James Allen and Bob Thompson, judged him on the 16th of January, 2005 before the Universal Bride, live on the internet platform, and asked him to repeat the book, He That Is To Come, that Brother Amos had written, declaring that Raymond Jackson was indeed he that was to take over from Brother Branham, in fulfillment of the prophetic statement the prophet to this age made in the Seals book. It is interesting to note that Mike Hefner of Montgomery had only just preached his own message of character assassination of Brother Amos, declaring that Brother Amos would never be able to minister in the United States again. Mike Hefner had sent his MP3 message via Brother Amos' email, but Brother Amos was unaware of the things said before his trip, because he was unable to access and listen to the message. Till after his visit to the USA, this message lays out the course of God's move for the bride in this last age. I just want to greet everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. It is so good to be here. I want to give thanks to God for making it possible for my wife and myself to be here tonight. Our prayers have been with you, and I know you have all been praying for us, but God makes things happen in His own time. I just want to thank God for His grace that has really brought us together in the light of the Scriptures of Jesus Christ. I want to thank the church. I want to thank you all for your prayers, for your love, for your stand for truth. That means more than anything else. We live in a world that is filled with so much compromise, but God is going to have a people that are faithful to Him and to truth, a people that uphold the integrity of God's word, a people that stand for nothing but that which is true. Because, don't forget, God always reserves for Himself a remnant according to the election of grace, that will not bow the knee to Baal, but will be faithful to His revelation, and do God's will, and live just for God. I really want to thank God for this church, for your stand for truth. Your encouragement, your prayers, your letters have made a lot of difference, and we appreciate you all. We love you all. It is just like being at home, for I feel just at home. I feel I am in the midst of my brothers, my precious brothers and sisters. You know, by the time this thing is over, the restraints that are still there, certain restraints that are stopping a true free flow of the Spirit will be taken away, and we know, yes, we are just one family, and that is the way it really has to be, because we are one family, we are part of one another, and we just thank God for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that has produced the family of God, and we are so grateful that we are part of it. I want to appreciate my brother, Alvin Suggs. I thank God for his life. I want to appreciate him for his stand tonight. He has stood as a testimony of God's grace. I tell you, this is an hour of time God needs people to stand. The ministry is supposed to stand for what is true. But when you look around, all you see is compromise, either for popularity, to make a name, for prestige, or to be in the spotlight or limelight. So who wants to stand alone with God? Because when you take a firm, definite and unwavering stand for truth, you are cut off. And when you are cut off, you are alone. But the beauty of it is, although you may be cut off, although you may be alone, but you are cut off with God in the light, and you are alone with God. And one with God is in the majority, because that is what matters, that we are standing with God. And the singular stand of my brother has made a difference. I tell you this, tonight, it is going to be more like a testimony, really. I will just lay a little background, God helping me tonight, for whatever God has laid in my heart. There is so much to say, and yet, I don't even know where to start, because it has been one incredible year. A year I did not dream of, a year none of us dreamt of. Nobody imagined all that has happened this year would ever happen, or could ever happen. Now, how could it be? So, it is incredible. It is mind-boggling, but yet, this is a reality we have all faced. So, There is so much that has gone on, but I feel that as bright saints, a people with an understanding of truth, a people to whom grace has been given, and a people that have an understanding of the plan of salvation and of the dealership of the Spirit of God, we want to lay aside the ugly events of this year and move on with God. And so, for me tonight, and in these meetings, God helping me, I want to leave behind the things that have gone on. I want to look forward. I want to look straight on. And brothers and sisters, I just want to walk with God, God helping me, and follow the path that God has laid before us. We want to walk in it and love strictly for the Lord in the light of truth and forget about the chattering squirrels. We want to leave all that and simply follow the path God has laid out for us, because at the end of the day, it is the will of God that we grow in revelation and in our walk with Him, that we grow from faith to faith. So we want to go higher. We don't want to stay on the ground. You know what the song says. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that is it. We just want to move on. And that is my desire tonight. So I am looking to God tonight that God would help me to lay a solid background that would form the platform for whatever I will be sharing in the few days that we will be here. But I really thank God for my precious brother and his stand. It is a singular stand, but it is a wonderful stand. And I know this, and a lot of people may not realize it. It is not the numbers. It is what you stand for. It is not the numbers. It is what you stand on, because God is not in numbers. God is in truth, and in His body of believers that are standing for the truth. God has never been in numbers. If He was in numbers, He never would have destroyed the world in the days of Noah, and wiped away the people, and saved just its souls. If God was in numbers, He never would have wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah, and saved just for souls. God is not in numbers. God is in truth, and in His people that are standing for the truth. And that is what makes the difference. But I say this tonight, because the brother has been faithful, in spite of the opposition that he faces for a singular stand, when men are compromising for friendship, for popularity, just to still be in the limelight, to have prestige, as if the ministry is for prestige. But because he stood, it has been an encouragement and a source of strength and support to us back home, and it has made all the difference. Brother Slugs, may God bless your heart. I appreciate my brother and his wife, the entire family, and the entire family of God's people over here. For each and every saint, it has been God's grace in our lives. A lot of misunderstanding has gone on, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is how God looks at us, because I will say something. In view of the so-called judgment by faith assembly, the ultimate judgment is in God's hand. And although man may say his own, and man may do his own thing, but you know, God's will prevail. Over the entire situation on the ground, over this carnal judgment, and that is what matters. I remember there are certain things that happened in the ministry in times past, when Brother Jackson was alive. And I looked at him, and I felt, Brother Jackson doesn't know these things that are going on with these men following his ministry. The things they were doing and saying behind the scenes. And I said to myself, I won't tell him. You know why I said I won't tell Brother Jackson? For one, I did not want to be misunderstood. I did not want anyone to think, well, Brother Amos doesn't want to see other people rise. He wants to bring people down. And that is not so. So I kept my peace. I also didn't tell him, because I knew that Brother Jackson is not the one in control of the bride, even though God has placed him over the bride by virtue of his position. But God is God. It is not Brother Jackson that is going to sort out men. It is God. I knew that. It is not Brother Jackson that is going to confirm people's ministry, and he is not the one that is going to reward people for their stand or for their unfaithfulness. It is God. So in my heart, I said, God sees all what is going on. He knows what is going on. He is going to clean the house. I was certain of that. And so I kept my mouth shut. But look at it today. When people ought to stand for truth, they are not standing for truth. They are compromising, selling out truth. But it is a joy. It is a joy to have a precious brother like Alvin Sock stand firmly for truth in the face of so much compromise. I am proud of that, and I am proud of my brother. And brothers and sisters, back home, we just think about you all the time, and you are always in our prayers. And we know, yes, we have brothers and sisters back there in Calhoun. And we know that coming here to this assembly, I don't have to be on guard in ministering. I am not on guard. I am at home. I am in the midst of the family of God's people. And that is how it should be. There is no hypocrisy in the kingdom of God, but sincerity, truth, and love. And there is one common bond, the bond of truth. And that is what binds us together. I just thank God for seeing us through the past months. Well, we can call it a year. You know, it is about a year since Brother Jackson passed away. So I just want to thank God for seeing us through this past year. It has been a turbulent year for us. But God's grace has kept us. And God's grace has helped us on. A lot of storms, a lot of water has passed under the bridge. But the grace of God has been our stay. He has kept us in the light, and kept us focused, and kept us on course, and we want to give God all the glory. I just thank God tonight for His grace, and for His goodness towards us. For were it not for His grace, we could not stand. Were it not for His grace, we would make the same compromise. We would make the same unfaithful stand, like others are doing. It is just the grace of God that we are able to see what we see, and are able to make the stand we have made. It is by His grace we are able to do the right things. So, I want to give God the glory tonight, and I thank Him. It is so nice to have Brother Brian and Sister Terry Neal from Indiana. May God bless you. You are welcome. It is also nice to have Brother Dodson. God bless you. I just want to thank God for everything. I was just thinking the other day about the church in Calhoun, and I said to myself, they are right in the thicket of the heart-rending situation that is going on today, in America. To think that you are in the thicket of everything. But you know I am so far away in Africa. But Brother Soggs, you are right here in the thicket of everything. You are in the midst of so many assemblies, but now you are isolated. You are cut off, you know. So that takes God. It really takes God to stand alone for truth. But when you look back and see the stand of saints all through time, it has always been like that, you know, particularly when God is doing something new. New in the sense that it is a continuation of His plan of salvation, but it is a new phase, another phase. It is another phase God is ushering in to bring about the accomplishment of His purpose according to His master plan of salvation. So it is a continuation, but yet it is a new phase. And I believe this is the last phase. We are seeing the ushering in of another phase, the last move, the last phase. So, you know, it brings a lot of pressure. It comes with a lot of pressure. But I thank God, because our portion is a goodly one. And what gives us joy, what gives us confidence, and what gives us assurance, is this: as long as people cannot tear down our stand by the scriptures, it does not matter what they say. They can say all they want to say. You can make all the noise you want to make. As long as you cannot take your Bible and tear down what we are standing for, it doesn't bother me what you do or say. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, the Word of God is what God is going to use to judge and determine everything. This Bible will have the last say. After everybody has said his own thing and done his own thing, the Bible will have the last say. So, that is our joy as God's people, that we can put dependence on this Word, and we know that the Word of God cannot fail. The whole of the universe hangs on the Word of God. So that is our joy, and that is our comfort. It is the encouragement we have. It is what gives us comfort, and it is what moves us on, even when it looks like everything in our world is upside down, and you keep asking yourself, what am I living for? Why am I doing this? This is why we are doing this. It is solely because of the revelation of God's own Word. But I thank God He opened our eyes to the Scriptures to let us understand His Word. And it is our prayer that God will continue to help us on in the light of His Word and lead us home. One more time, I thank you very much for your stand, for your love, and of course, for your encouragement, your kindness, your letters of encouragement. It has meant a lot, a tremendous lot to us back home, and I bring the love of the saints. All the brethren send their love, and I know they are impressed as well, you know, for these meetings. So, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless us, as we bow our heads in prayer just for a while. Our most precious Father, I want to thank you tonight for your grace, and for your mercy. Indeed, it is a privilege, Father, that you would cause us to stand before your people in the United States tonight. How precious they are in your sight. We want to thank you, Lord, for the love of truth that binds us together as we walk together in this light. We want to thank you for bringing us here, Father, Lord God Almighty, in spite of all the opposition the enemy has thrown across our pathway. We thank you, Lord, my Father, for the revelation you have shed across our pathway at this evening time. It is such a beautiful light. And Father Lord, as we gather together tonight, it is my prayer that, Lord, you would help me. I am just a mere dust of the earth, just a mortal. Without you, I could do nothing. And Lord, I am just overwhelmed. I don't even know how to start. But I am just looking to the Lord, that in your mercy, you will help me to say something tonight that would be a blessing to your people. Lord, I look to thee. May you bless us all together in your mercy, to the glory of your name, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Well, I need to get my glasses. I need it just for reading the Bible. My eyes are not what they used to be. It has nothing to do with being an old man. But as we grow in age, the cells begin to pack up little by little. I am not an old man, you know. So, I didn't say that to say I am an old man. I am a younger man. But still, you know, when you are climbing in age, little by little, things begin to fade away. It is never really the same, you know. Brother Remus has everyone laughing. We will turn our Bibles tonight to Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We take one verse, verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. I want to take the second clause of that verse, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. They are two things. That is why he used the word, both a time and a judgment. There is a time which speaks of a day, and there is a revelation of God's word that goes with the time. But the heart of a wise person, the heart of a wise person, that is the bride of Jesus Christ, would discern the time, that is the day, and the revelation of the word of God that goes with it, that is, the revelation for the hour of time. I have to say this, there is no wisdom in man. Christ is our wisdom. It has been made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom. The understanding of Jesus Christ we have received, the revelation of Jesus that we, the bride of the Christ of the end time, have been given, is what makes us wise. But Ecclesiastes says, the heart of the wise discerns both time and judgment. As such, as God's people, you have got to understand what the day is and what the revelation of God is that goes with this day. What day are we living in? And what is the revelation of truth that goes with this day? What junction of time are we in? For in every age, there are various junctions of time. What junction of time are we living in now? And what is the revelation of God for this junction of time? What is the day saying? We must understand it, because the bride are a people that are not walking in darkness. They are walking in the light. And it is a marvelous light God has given the bride of Christ access to at this very end. It is enormous. It is incredible. The depth of revelation God has opened up to the bride, from the pages of the Bible, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, is phenomenal. There has never been an age, and there has never been an era of time God has given accessibility to such profound truths, like the bride of the end time. Because you know tonight, we know what Paul the Apostle didn't know. Because brothers and sisters, The last book of the Bible was not written when Paul was on the scene. He had been dead about 30 years when John, the beloved apostle, on the Isle of Patmos, was given an experience, a fantastic, phenomenal experience, an encounter that produced the last book of the Bible. It is a book of prophecy, and it deals with such deep, prophetic truths that was buried through time, truths that even John, who saw those things and recorded those things, did not have an understanding of, because it wasn't meant for his day. It was meant for our day, but it had to be written and carried through time as part of the Bible for the bride of the end time. So that is why I said we know things Paul didn't know tonight. The understanding of these things have been given to the bride. So it is a fact that we know tonight things that Paul didn't even know. And yet Paul was a man that God used to write more than half of the New Testament. Yet Paul was the man that held the plumb line, and God used him to lay the foundation of truth upon which the Church of Jesus Christ is built, and the foundation of truth which the ministry of the Bride of Christ is established upon. That makes us a highly privileged people. And that is why I said, as bright saints, as a people of God, a people to whom the grace of God has been revealed unto, we are people that cannot be ignorant, because God has dealt more graciously with us in the light of His Word to give us a true understanding of the Scriptures of truth. Then when we look into the text we read tonight, it says that the heart of the wise discerns both time and judgment. Saints, we must know what the day is saying. We must know what the day is saying. They may not know what the day is saying out there. It is a pity they don't, for they should. They should know what the day is saying, because the light of God has been shed on it already. But they do not know, because they did not hear right. But as a true bride of Jesus Christ, we must know what the day is saying, because the heart of the wise discerns both time, the day, and judgment, the revelation that goes with the day. We must know what the day is saying. What is the day saying? We will take another text. It is just a little message tonight as a background for what I intend sharing. We will now go to Isaiah chapter 1. I pray that God will help me tonight. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now we go to verses 2 and 3. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now verse 3 is where I am going. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. What Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. What a shame that God raised up Israel, and Israel did not understand the ways of his Maker. They did not understand the ways of God, in spite of all the dealings of God they received. That is why, as bright saints, we must know what the day is saying, because we are people that have been given an understanding of truth. Therefore, we have no excuse for not knowing what the day is saying. There is no excuse for anybody who is following the continuity of revelation not to know what the day is saying, not to know what the will of God is for today, not to know what the will of God is for this particular junction of time, not to know what the truth is, because everything has been made plain. It has been given to us over the years, because God raised a voice, a chief apostolic voice, and all he did was to lay out truth upon truth. Truth upon truth, to give a true understanding to the bride of Christ of the very end. And he did not hide anything from the bride that was needful for a fruitful growth and for a true understanding of truth. As God dealt with him, so he dished to us. Therefore, all that was needful for our spiritual growth, God used him to lay on our lap. Then the question therefore is, what then would be the basis that would make a people still not to understand the ways of God? There is certainly no excuse for a people following the continuity of revelation not to know, because unto whom much is given, much is demanded. So, there is no excuse for those supposedly following the continuity of revelation. I want to take something tonight, just a little thought, which I title, The Plot. We have got to know the plot. We have got to know the plot. When God set about the plan of salvation, he had the wherewithal, how salvation would be established because God is perfect in all his ways. Let me warn you, there are things that the bride of Christ at the end time will be forced by circumstances and situations to look into. We are going to hear a lot about the logistics of God because it is an issue people are shying away from. But it is nonetheless the means by which God has conveyed his dealership to the bride of Christ. We have to understand the logistics of God's dealership with the bride of Christ at this end time. If we do not understand the logistics, it shows we are very ignorant. We must understand the logistics. Please bear with me. I am merely laying a background. We must understand God's own logistics because the Spirit of God would have us to look back through time, particularly in our own day, and consider, what has God been doing? How has he been doing it? What has God accomplished? How did he accomplish it? We cannot be ignorant of it, because not to know what God has accomplished, and not to know how he accomplished it, shows utter ignorance. And if a person is ignorant, he is ignorant because he is not being dealt with by the Spirit of God. Period. But you know what? The Bible says, the secret of God is upon the tabernacle of his people. In other words, we as bright saints are the people that God gives a revelation of his way and of his plan. He is constantly revealing himself to his people in the light of his word, dealing with them revelationally as to what he wants to do, particularly as concerning those things that affect our salvation and affect our walk with the Lord, and that lets us know what to do and which way to go. It helps us to determine how we are supposed to walk with him and how we are to live for him, that we may attain unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Then, we must understand these things. That is why I said, I want to lay just a little thought. I title it, The Plot. I have to say, unless people see the plot God has charted out in the scriptures, unless people see the plot God has charted out, the design, the blueprint that God has mapped out in the scriptures, how he is supposed to accomplish his purpose, or how he would accomplish his purpose, it would do you no good talking about Jesus Christ. Because there is no point talking about something you don't understand, and it would do you no good talking about God, because they still wouldn't know that God. The dealership of God is in the light. There is no experience a person can have, and there is no fantastic testimony anybody can have, however fantastic it is, if it does not align a person, if it does not place a person in the pages of the scriptures, to give him an understanding of the truth, it is a waste of time. Because the true dealership of God is in the light of his word. That is why Jesus says, when the Comforter comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truths. He will put you in remembrance of my words. He will show you things to come. He will take the things of mine and reveal it to you. Why? So that you are not ignorant of what he is doing and how he is doing it. We must understand the plot God has charted for the bride of Christ of the end time. Because we can talk about salvation, and anybody can talk about it. But the issue is, how did God go about achieving the plan of salvation? That is a real question, because there is a plot for everything God does. And we must see the plot. I want us to see something in the book of Acts chapter 1, because there is a blueprint for everything. We have to see the plan. We have to see the plot. Acts chapter 1 verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 920. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. You know that up till this time, there was no prophet, there was no evangelist, there was no pastor, and there was no teacher in their midst. All you had up till this point was strictly apostles. The only fold of ministry Christ had established for the church up till this point, the only ministry on the ground, were only 12 apostles. But look at this scenario. They hadn't even come to Pentecost. It was just days before Pentecost. But look at the grace of God, as it manifested in the ministry of Peter, a man called to be the apostle unto the Jews. And church, Jesus Christ, when he was here in his flesh, did not deal with Peter concerning what we are going to read tonight. But the Spirit of Jesus Christ that put him in office, the Spirit of God that elected him into the ministry, inspired him to lay out something very crucial, setting a pattern for this end time. He laid out something for you and I tonight because I want to use it as a springboard. Let us go on. Verse 16. Men and brethren, these scripture must needs have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he was telling them, this scripture has got to be fulfilled now. This is for now. It has to be fulfilled, and it is for now. It is for today. Now, I am not talking of today, the 26th of October, 2005. We are talking about his day, that day. Peter continued, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us. Oh my! And had obtained part of this ministry. And may I say tonight, when Brother Jackson was on the ground, a lot of men in the ministry had a potential to be apostles, potential to be evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the bride of Christ, a potential. But tonight, like Judas, they derailed themselves, because they sold out Jesus Christ in his revelation. They were not stand for truth, but they thought they could crucify Jesus in his revelation and get away with it. But the only thing a man can do when it comes to God's plan of salvation, and when it comes to the sovereign will of God, the only thing any man can do is to fulfill God's will. Period. There is nobody that has any brain, or that has any willpower, to nullify or overturn the plan of God, or to nullify his will. You can't do it. The only thing you will do is to fulfill God's will. You would only help to bring about the accomplishment of God's purpose, because God is sovereign. No man can nullify it. You will only end up helping to lay in place the will of God, because that is exactly what Judas did. He thought he was selling out Christ, but actually, he was helping God fulfill his objective, because Christ had to die. But woe be to the man through whom the Son of God is betrayed. But yet he had to be so close to the Lord, a man that had the potentials as an apostle. Look at it. Judas was a man that was called into the apostolic ministry. He had a potential. He had a potential as an apostle. But he would not be faithful. He would not be faithful. And although Jesus did nothing to hurt or harm him, he sought to destroy Christ. And he was divested of every grace and potential, including his apostolic ministry. And men are falling tonight from the height of the revelation of continuity truth. It shows they do not know the value of the continuity revelation of Jesus Christ we received at this evening time through the chief apostle. They don't value it. It is obviously valueless to them. That is why they can sell it. And may I say this, outside of the revelation of Christ, you have nothing. There is nothing you have. You came into this world with nothing, and you leave with nothing. Outside the revelation of Jesus Christ, you have nothing. And when a man does not know that your premium must be laid firmly and solely upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, what a miserable existence that is. The only investment you and I have tonight, the only investment we have, saints of God, is in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the only investment we have. Outside of the truth of Christ, we have nothing. As Judas did, so are men doing tonight. These are men that have the potentials to be apostles. Having followed Brother Jackson for so many years, in the light, we can see their potentials as an apostle. But tonight, because of ambition and unfaithfulness to the truth of Christ, they have been derailed and completely divested of every grace, and of the potential ministry they held. May God give us men, men that will be faithful, men that will stand for this word, men who will not look for popularity, men who will not look for prestige, men who will not look for fame, men who will not look for a friendship, men who will not look for money, but men that will stand for the word of God alone, in spite of whatever opposition. Verse 17, for he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, in Samak as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. Watch, and his bishopric let another take. When God strips a man of a ministry, he is going to invest that grace and potential in somebody else. He will invest it in a man who will be faithful and who will serve the perfect purpose of God. As such, I have to say tonight, you are going to see men you never knew in this ministry. God is going to put in place a cream of people, most of whom you have never known. And let me tell you now, the Bride of Christ is not made up of one nation. The Bride of Christ is more than the American nation. I say that in love. I say that in love. But the Bride of Christ is not the American nation. The Bride of Christ is universal. Most of the men for the ministry, we don't know. But God is going to raise them up. And He has already raised them up. He is going to bring them out for the bride and into their precise office. One by one, beginning first with the apostles, who make up the head of the ministry. But I want to say unto you, this is the beginning of something. People don't realize it, but this is the beginning of something. And I pray that God will help me for the things I am going to say in these meetings. I pray for wisdom and I pray for grace. But this is the beginning of something. But remember this, the ways of God are very odd, because God does not use the ways carnal men will see and accept. He doesn't do things in ways that will stir the emotions of a carnal or revelated man, enabling him to follow the move of God. No. Therefore, it is either God is dealing with you, or He is not dealing with you. It is either you have a revelation, or you don't have a revelation. But God is not going to open the heavens and give an open supernatural display that would catch the eyes of everybody. No. His ways are always so humble and so quiet that only if you have ears to hear, if you can hear the still small voice, only then can you catch it. Remember, empty barrels make a lot of noise, but God's ways are very humble. Very humble. It is so humble until if you are not revelated, you won't even see God in it at all. God would have come and gone and fulfilled the word, and you wouldn't know it, but you will still be expecting Him to come on the scene. Because I will take you back. Look at Elijah, Elijah the Tishbite, a highly anointed and revelated man, that old war horse of God. He was tired. He cried, "O Lord, I am tired." And God said, "I will take you home, my son. But come and stand before me on the mountain." And Elijah went to hide himself in a cave in the mountain. What did the Bible say? Out came a what? Out came a wind that was breaking rocks. Brother Soggs, I have never seen a wind like that. But the Bible says it was breaking rocks. A wind breaking rocks. Yet it was not an earthquake. It was a wind breaking rocks, speaking of the supernatural presence of God on the mountain. It was a wind breaking rocks. But the Bible says, and God was not in the wind, because God is not a wind. God is a spirit. Yet the wind was a manifestation of God's presence, but God is not a wind. God is a living being. You had better wait and look for the still small voice, because that voice, the revelation of God, is the only difference a true manifestation of God gives to true seeds. Elijah saw the wind breaking rocks, but he was revelated enough not to bow for it. Yet, that was a supernatural manifestation. But God is more than a wind. He is more than a force of nature. God is a living being. That reminds me of when Brother Jackson was trying to straighten out people on the moving of the Spirit. And you must know that you cannot have the moving of the Spirit that will take preeminence over the Word of God. The Word of God must take precedence. If you don't, then you never learnt anything from the Shaker movement, because I will ask you, where are they today? They have the name of a town as a memorial to their movement, Shakertown, Kentucky. But where are they? They are a movement long dead, because they were not allowed the word to take precedence. Instead, they ran after sensations, shaking all over the place. But there was a grace on Elijah, a clear revelation of God, that ruled his life and ministry. Then out came the fire. Oh my! Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. What a supernatural manifestation of God's presence. But it is written, and God was not in the fire. And Elijah did not budge. He did not move. Elijah's reaction was no different when the earthquake came, For God was also not in the quake, for God is not an earthquake. God is more than these three forces of nature, though supernatural. And that is why when the fire came, the wind came, the earthquake came, you know what? Elijah was not moved, for he held a true revelation of God. But the Bible says, and there came a still small voice. What was that? The Holy Spirit's revelation of himself. That was God revealing himself now, not in the quake, not in the fire, not in the wind, but in the voice. When he heard the voice, he was moved, and he bowed to the voice. He bowed to the revelation. Yet, there was a quake, there was a wind, and there was a fire, but he did not bow for those. But when he heard the voice, he bowed. What was he saying? O my Father, speak, for thy servant hears. I need your revelation. Speak to me, Lord. Hallelujah. But people told Brother Jackson, mind your business. You want to kill the moving of the Spirit. You want to stifle the moving of the Spirit. So they thought. So what happens now? That negative attitude to correction by the truth opened the door to every spirit. Every spirit. That is why today, they can prophesy for one person in the church meeting. One person, for the next 20 minutes, is having a prophecy. That is nonsense. By the time you finish, you have more than a truckload of prophecy to carry home. And what if three or more people have to prophesy? Nonsense. The Spirit of God is not cheap. That is being carnality. But when our people do not want to be instructed right, they will reap the whirlwind. Because when you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. If you will not be instructed by God, the devil will instruct and cheat you. You must realize that at the end of the day, the Spirit of God will not always strive with men. He will not always strive with men. He will plead with men. He will plead with men. But after a while, he will simply leave you to your own devices. And when he does, don't forget the return of the evil spirit, the return of the evil spirit. Oh my! When an evil spirit has been cast out, he will go looking for another abode. And finding none, he will come back to that person or place. He will go back. And when he comes and sees the tabernacle clean, oh my! This place has been cleaned. And he would say, I've got brothers out there. He will ask them to come. And the Bible says, the state of that person would be worse than at the beginning. So it is important that we have an open eye to truth, and an open ear, and a heart to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is our security and prosperity. Going back to the plot, we see that Judas had a potential, but he was divested. Stripped of every grace and potential invested in him. Somebody else had to take his place, because it is not possible that God would leave the bride without a ministry. And may I tell you tonight, there will be a true and complete original fivefold ministry. But people don't believe it. They do not believe there is going to be a full-fledged fivefold ministry. If they believed it, they would not be saying that an evangelist will be used of God to bring new revelation. Where would be the place of apostles? Where would be the input of the apostles? Then show me in the scriptures one evangelist that brought out a revelation. Show me. There is no evangelist that did that. And let me say this, at harvest time, the seed will not be different from that which God planted. Any farmer knows that. You cannot sow a seed and at harvest time, reap something so different from what you sowed. The seed you sow is what you reap. That is the law of reproduction, and any farmer knows that. Then, the chief husbandman, the Almighty God, cannot at harvest reap a crop that is contrary to the seed that he sowed in the first church age. He is going to harvest a crop that is precisely and exactly like the crop he sowed in the planting season. He sowed the seed in order to get exactly the crop in superabundance. Don't forget, the end-time church is being conformed to the early church. So, what are we talking about? We are being restored. We are being brought back, so that we can be in the likeness of the first church. So, how can the seed be different when, brother, the early church ministry set the standard of what the end-time ministry would be? So how can the ministry be different at the end-time? It is unbelief if you do not believe the record of the Bible. Some do not believe, simply because the ministry is not fully anointed and fully established yet. But we must realize that the establishment of the ministry will be according to God's own revealed will in the Bible. But we will have to be patient, because there is nothing any man can do of himself. It takes God. So, we don't have any problem. We just wait on God in the light of His Word, for God to fulfill His Word. And He will bring them on the spot, one by one. One by one they will be placed. He will bring them on the spot according to His divine order. I am going to say some things in these meetings, God helping me, and I care less what anybody thinks or feels. I don't say that to you, my precious brothers and sisters, but I say it because I know it is also going on tape. Yes, the opposition will probably hear it, but I care less what they say, and I care less what they feel about it, as long as it is the truth. I can only lay out the truth, as God gives grace, and leave the rest to God. Because at the end of the day, God will vindicate only the truth. It may take time, but truth will have the last say. Let us go on in considering the plot. So it says in Acts chapter 1 verse 20b, "And his bishopric let another take, that lets you know, as it was then, so it is tonight." Men that had an apostolic potential derailed themselves, and God is going to put in their place other men that are faithful. There may be men that are not known or recognized. There may be men that are not recognized. There may be men that are not considered to be anything. But God considers them to be something, and that is all that makes the difference. Because all God needs are faithful people, faithful men. Let us go on. Verse 21, "Wherefore these men which have companied with us." Now this is Peter talking. He is now giving the blueprint for the caliber of men that can be elected into the apostolic office. It had to be a specific caliber of men. But saints of God, what Peter laid down the day as criteria for the apostolic ministry is the same today, because he is showing a plot, and he is showing a pattern for this end time. And it is important we understand it. Look at what he said. "Wherefore these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." Hold it there. Don't move forward. I have to say this, there is a beginning point for everything. Is that right? There is a beginning point for everything, even for the dealership of the Spirit. In this verse, Peter starts with the knowledge of the ministry of Jesus Christ as criteria, but he did not stop with the ministry of Jesus Christ. And you have to see it. Brother Clarence, I ask, is it not enough that a man knows Jesus Christ? Is it not enough that a man walked with Jesus? Was it not enough that a man gave his heart to Christ? Was it not enough that a man was standing for Jesus Christ? Is Jesus not the major ministry for us Gentiles? Is he not our Savior? Is Jesus not our Lord? He is. Is the revelation of Jesus Christ not what gives salvation? Yes, it is. Why then did Peter not stop there as the criteria? Church, if all it took was just the knowledge of Jesus, why didn't he stop there for the ordination of the apostolic ministry? Because Jesus is the Messiah. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. It is He that counts. So, what Peter should have laid out as the criteria, what he should have said is, whoever is a follower of Christ indeed, he would be eligible to the apostolic ministry of Judas. Full stop. But he didn't stop there, and he didn't say that. There is a wisdom of God that ruled and inspired Peter, a man with the keys of the kingdom of God, when he was laying the criteria for the person that would take over the apostolic office that Judas was given potentially. There was a criteria. It was not enough that that person knew Jesus Christ. It was not enough that he walked with Jesus Christ. It was not enough that he was faithful to Jesus Christ. That was very material, very important, most necessary, but it was not enough. No man could step in the shoes of Judas to be the apostle, except and only except. He also was a man who could fulfill the next criteria we will now read. What is that additional criteria? Peter laid it out in verse 22, but let us take it from verse 21 for a background again. "Wherefore these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he," that is Jesus, was taken off from us, must one be ordained to bear witness with us of his resurrection. Church, the witness to be born, and the only witness that can be born, is the witness of Jesus Christ. But the question is, why did Peter not stop with just a knowledge of the ministry of Jesus Christ? Why? That is why I started by saying, was it not enough that a man knew Jesus? Is Jesus not the Savior? I have to talk like that because we live in a religious world, an unbelieving world, and they think they know everything, but they know nothing. It is written, whoever thinks he knows, doesn't know as he ought to know. But Peter declared, he is not just going to be a brother that has walked with us, with Jesus up and down. He had to be a man whose ministry also started with John's ministry. You know why? It is really because the dealership of God in that day started with the ministry of John the Baptist. I said, the dealership of the Spirit of God with the Jewish nation in the day and hour did not start with the ministry of Jesus Christ. It started with the ministry of John the Baptist. That was where the move of God and the dealership of his Spirit started. That is why whoever would be an apostle to take over the shoes of Judas had to be a man that knew what God had done in the day to the measure God had done it. We have to ask, why would an apostle be ignorant of what God had done in that day? Why would an apostle, the highest order in the fivefold efficient ministry, the principal office ordained to lead the bride ministry, and also ordained to guide the bride, and be a guard for the ministry, and for truth, be ignorant of what God had done in the day and hour? How can he be ignorant of the dealership of the Spirit, and of the accomplishment of God? How can he not know the move of God in his day, and the revelatory input of God? Therefore, the only man that could be ordained to take over Judas' position had to be a man who not only believed in Jesus, and who not only followed Jesus, he also had to be a man that knew John and followed John, and had an understanding of John's ministry, and what God used John to accomplish on behalf of the nation of Israel. I have to emphasize that it takes that to be an apostle, because we live in a religious world, which has this religious hypocritical attitude, oh no, 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 just talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jackson. Just talk about Jesus. Or talk about the prophet, William Branham. Don't talk about Jackson. They are hypocrites. I don't say that to you. I say that because it is going on tape. It is sheer hypocrisy. The truth is, the revelation of Jesus Christ doesn't come in a vacuum. It doesn't. Otherwise, I will ask, who has seen Jesus here in his flesh? Raise up your hand if you have seen him in the flesh tonight. You were not even born when he was here on earth. He had been crucified, buried, and resurrected before he came to us Gentiles. But how did Christ come to us Gentiles? He came strictly through the preaching of the truth, the gospel. He came in the revelation. So, we only saw him, and can only see him, by the revelation of the scriptures. And that revelation message came through men. Men bore the revelation. Paul bore it. Peter bore it. Brother Branham bore it. Brother Jackson bore it. It came through men. And how can we deny what God has done at this same time in our own day? And men want to be apostles. But they would not recognize what God has used Brother Jackson to accomplish for the bride of Christ. They don't even know his position, Brother Suggs. What a shame. They don't even know who he is. If they really know who he is, why would they tear down his truth concerning the establishment or the essence of the ministry? Why would they do that, less than 1 year after the man passed away? Why would they tear down the very truths he labored to present to the bride concerning the ministry? How can they really know who he is, and yet throw his truth away? Let me say this, and hear me well. Without apostolic leadership, the leadership God ordained over the ministry, the bride is not going anywhere. But the bride, the true bride, this bride, is going up. Hallelujah. Why? You have the blueprint. You see the plot. There is no stopping the bride of the end time. Hell cannot prevail against her. You know why? She is standing on holy ground. She is standing upon the only invincible foundation there is. The foundation of revealed truth. That is what the gates of hell cannot prevail against tonight, Brother Alvin. the ground of revealed truth. That is the only prevailing ground. That is the only ground Satan has no hold over. The only ground that guarantees security and immunity. I didn't say one of the grounds, but the only ground. And that is why, when we can find ourselves standing upon that foundation, it does not matter what anybody says. We know we are going up. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I have gone into the book of Acts to show you something. As bright saints, we must be fully acquainted with God's move and God's dealing. We must have an understanding of what the Spirit of God has done on our behalf in our day, at the same time, and how God has accomplished it. Because there is always logistics for God's accomplishment. The logistics gives you the wherewithal how God accomplished what He accomplished. That is the logistics. If we want to go to town as a church body, there must be logistics. Are we going to ride a bike? Or are we going to take a car or a bus? We will think of the logistics if the whole church wants to go to town. There has got to be logistics because we are not all going to walk to the town, seeing how far away it is. There has got to be a wherewithal how we get there. How do we get there? That is the plot. You have got to see the plot. Because God has already spoken it. He is going to deal with the bride in a glorious way at the end time. He is going to build the bride up to attain the stature of Jesus Christ. He is going to give us a fivefold ministry. But the time of their placing is in God's hand. But there is a plot for it all. So I ask, what is the plot? There is a plot. You must see the plot. Whoever does not see the plot cannot move with God, because it shows God is not dealing with a person. And brothers and sisters, today, you have got to see the plot. You have got to see it, because the plot gives you the wherewithal. It is the logistics God Himself has plotted out in the Bible, how He will accomplish the bride's salvation. That is what people don't want to see, but that is what the bride will see, and want to see. Because it lets us know how God has accomplished what He has accomplished on our behalf. The plot gives you the how. That is why I am talking about the plot. You must see the plot. Because when we are talking about the plan of God for the bride of the very end, it has a plot. The plot starts with Malachi 4 verse 6b larger. The plot of the dealership of the Spirit of God at this end time, for the bride of Christ, starts with Malachi 4 Elijah. We live in religious world, the denominational world, which hath this carnal attitude. No. 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 Don't talk about Branham. Just give me Jesus. Talk about Jesus. I don't say that to you, my brothers and sisters, because I know it is going on tape. And sometimes, you know, people need to be shaken before they see truth. At the end of the day, what is material is whether what is stated is a truth. Let me say this. What is going to determine everything at this very end is going to be nothing but truth. It would not be friendship. It would not be going on picnics. Because you have assemblies that love going on picnics. Now there is nothing wrong with going on picnics. But this way is not about picnics. Because that is of the flesh. This is not a way of entertainment. But it is a way of revealed faith. A pilgrim way. Families may go on picnics. But the Church of God has no such business. Because Christ did not establish it to cater to the flesh, but to nurture the saints, spiritually, for heaven. The question is, can you see truth? Do you love truth? Christ looked at them, and said, My words have no place in you because you are not my sheep. Think about it. God's sheep hear God's voice, God's word. And that is all that matters. He said, A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, they follow me. A stranger they will not follow. That simply means, it is impossible for them to follow a strange voice. They cannot. Yet Jesus is not here in his fleshly body to lead anybody. And neither is he here to physical sound his audible voice. No. 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 That is not how it happens. But Jesus is revealed tonight in His Word, as a true ministry is sounding it out by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. I am just laying a background tonight. I am almost through with it. But it is just a background as a launching pad for my message. But look at it, we are looking at the plot. Consider this. At the end time, we know the bride is going to go in the rapture, and we are going in the rapture. I know that because the scriptures say so. But the issue is this, how does God accomplish that? That is the issue. So, when we look at the very end, you have got to be able to see the plot God has charted to obtain that. You have got to be able to look at the blueprint. We must look at the blueprint. The dealership of God with the bride at this end time started with Malachi 4 verse 6b Elijah. It started with Brother Branham's ministry. I then have to ask, why would a man be in the ministry and not know who Brother Branham is? By God's grace, I have gone around within the United States. I have been privileged to be here and there. And there are people who are following Brother Jackson, who care less for Brother Branham's ministry and for what he preached. And I look, and I wonder, oh my God, you think you can rubbish that man? And what God used him to accomplish, he is irrelevant to you. Then it is obvious you never heard Brother Jackson. You didn't hear Brother Jackson. Because that man stood, Brother Jackson stood, for the truth of Brother Branham. He stood for his truth. He lifted up the message of that man in the light of the scriptures, to give us a true understanding of his ministry message. In the light, he stood in defense of that man's ministry. He stood in defense of his person. He stood in defense of his truth. Remember, his message, Brother Jackson's message, is not a new message. It is Brother Branham's message in continuity, which is the message of Christ. That is why we call it a continuing message. That is why I queried, what did they hear from Brother Jackson? That man would not know the position Brother Branham occupied in the plan of God for the bride of the end time. What a shame. He is not my Lord, just as John the Baptist is not my Lord. But yet Peter laid the plumb line for the election, or for the ordination of an apostle into Judas' office. The criteria was not just following Jesus and knowing Jesus, though that was most crucial. You had to know that. But it wasn't enough. You had to know what God was doing in the day, beginning from when God started his dealership with the nation of Israel, to the ascension of Jesus Christ. You had to begin from where God started in the era of time, showing that your understanding of God's move, and of his dealership, in the day, is complete. Brother, God needed men that would have a perfect understanding of what he was doing, men whose understanding was entire, was complete, not half-baked men as apostles. That was why Peter required under divine inspiration, a would-be apostle, to be a person who started from John's ministry, right to the day Jesus was taken up. Why? Because then his understanding of what God did in the day would be complete, in order to bear a perfect and complete witness. He would be a man who knew what God had done in that hour. To the extent God had done it, you must know, it would not be different today. That is why I said, if they obtain then, you've got to see the plot. You must see the plot. We must be able to look in the Bible and see the blueprint for the bride. That is why I said, the dealership of the Spirit of God with the bride of Christ at the end time started with Malachi 4 verse 6b Elijah, Brother Branham's ministry. But you and I know tonight, for the Branham movement, that is where it all stops. But that is a blatant lie. For the majority of people in the Branham movement, the testimony they have is all about Brother Branham's place. That is where the dealing of God stops for them. That is where their plot ends. They do not see Brother Jackson. I got a nice letter from the United States. The sister said, Brother Amos, I thank you for your books I received, The Way of Every Lighthouse, and How Far We Into the Fivefold Ministry, and for your stand. And then she said, they at Faith Assembly think they are the only ones who have the truth, but you show them they don't have the monopoly on truth. But she also said, but I don't know why you call Brother Jackson the chief apostle to this age. All right, sister, in case you get this tape, I want to thank you for your email. I appreciate what you wrote. But if you do not have the revelation of a man, you cannot know his place. If you do not have the revelation of a man, it is impossible for you to know his place, because it is the revelation that would open your eyes, through his accomplishment, to his office. Because that is going to be the mirror How can you tell what a man's office is? When you can see the truth he bears, when you can see his revelation. And what God is using him to accomplish on behalf of the ministry, and on behalf of the bride universal, you can tell. It is like when your water system is faulty, and somebody comes to fix it for you. You don't need to be told before you realize he is a plumber. If he fixes the electrical fault in your home, then you would know he is an electrician. If he treats a mechanical fault, then you will say, aha, that man, he is an engineer. But they don't write engineer on somebody's forehead. You have to see the fruit of it. It is the same thing with the ministry. But it appears that this is a sister who has attended or has been to faith assembly before. I know that because she said a lot of things she had against Brother Jackson in faith assembly. She just could not see how Brother Jackson is the apostle. The truth is, if you do not have the revelation of a man, you cannot know the man. And tonight, it is a fact that even the men that stood with Brother Jackson never had his revelation. They did not really know who that man is. The fact that they did not know who he is why they are trampling the truth of the ministry he established and of he that is to come. They are denying his truth. Just how can you know who he is and not submit to the revelation of truth he brought? They do not know who he is. They may know mentally, but they have no revelation. And there is no way they could really stand for his truth without a revelation, and that is what they just didn't have. They think they have it. It looked like they had it. That is why tonight, it is obvious why Brother Jackson had to be called home. Yes, now we know why God had to take him home. If he had not been called home, there is no way we would have been able to tell the depth of unbelief in these men who followed him in the ministry. Who would ever have dreamt that the men that stood with him behind the pulpit for 30-something years were stark unbelievers, and were people who never really believed his truth. And yet they stood and spoke to Brother Jackson. We are standing with you, Brother Jackson. And it is not yet 1 year, and they are already tearing his truth to pieces. They do not understand who he is. Do you know why I say they have no revelation of him? If they had a true revelation of him, they would have followed him in his revelation. Simple. Revelation anchors a man. Revelation is a stabilizer. It establishes you firmly upon the rock of truth. There is no tsunami that can move you. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He said, I will liken a man who hears the word and has a revelation of it to a man who builds his house upon the rock. He said, here comes the tsunami. Here comes the flood. Here comes the hurricane. Here comes the tornado. But the house stands solid. You know why? Because it is built upon the rock. Revelation. Revelation is a solid anchor. There is no wind that can blow it. When you see men being blown, it is because they have no revelation. You may have truth upstairs in your head. It is the same as having it only on your lips. You have the truth only for a while. Time and conditions is what God will use to show you have nothing at the end of the day. Because why would a man stand with Brother Jackson for 36 long years, only for a few days after his death to tear down his truth, the truth of his ministry? It does not make sense. Wasted years. Who should stand for Brother Jackson's truth, if not the Ministry of Faith Assembly? What a shame. What a shame. If that man should look down from the corridor of heaven and see the denial of his truth, he will scream. But he is at peace, for right now he is resting in glory. He knows nothing of what is going on here. Hallelujah. He is enjoying himself over there. Hallelujah. Hardships and trials and tests are no more for him. But Jesus Christ is still on the scene. I pray I say these things in a right way tonight, just to lay a background for these meetings. I need your prayers that God will help me. But we must see the plot. You have got to see the plot. So this way is not about what a man says. It is that you have got to be able to see the blueprint, the design that God has drawn, the plot he has charted in the scriptures, how he would obtain the perfection of the bride of Jesus Christ of the end time, in this Laodicean church age, this final age. That is why God started his dealership with the bride of the end time, with Brother Branham. It started with Malachi 4:6b Elijah. Nobody can take that away. And do you know, according to Revelation 10, verse 7, God is also wrapping up everything at the end of the day, upon the basis of the voice of William Branham, the voice of the seventh angel. It is still upon the basis of his voice. And brother, thank God for Brother Jackson. But it is still going to be wrapped up on the basis of the voice of the seventh angel. God will also put John the Apostle in place. But it is not on the basis of his voice that God is wrapping up everything, but strictly on the basis of the voice of the seventh angel. Why would you not know that? Why would a bright element not know that? You don't know Brother Branham, and you did not live in another age, but you say you are a bride of this age, and yet, you don't know who Brother Branham is. You don't know his truth, and you don't know his place. It is only because you are not following his ministry. You are just playing church. You are not following the truth. And you will do the same thing with the chief apostle, because that man, Brother Branham, his ministry started everything. But yet, that is not the all of God at this same time. Because I tell you, in the plot God charted in the scriptures, Malachi 4 verse 6b, Elijah was established to produce Ephesians 4 ministry. Malachi was placed to reproduce the Ephesian ministry. It is a reproduction, because the original seed ministry is the Ephesian ministry. It is the message of Elijah that produces the Ephesian ministry. Brother Branham's ministry is not part of the fivefold ministry. He is an Old Testament type prophet, not a New Testament type prophet. He is an Old Testament type prophet. But God used him to restore that through his message, the original seed ministry would be reproduced. That is the Ephesian ministry. But watch, this reproduction does not happen in one day. It does not happen in one day. It has a starting point and an order of establishment. That is why Brother Jackson said, there is a starting point of that ministry. What is it? Unfortunately, he couldn't say, I am the starting point. He couldn't. He had to rely on God as always to have an elected and faithful witness that God is dealing with to declare who he is. God always has a people he is dealing with, a people he will give a true revelation, a true understanding of something. I was in Calhoun last year for the first time. Brother Sox and Sister Patsy shared a testimony concerning their stand-in experiences. And I thank God for the testimony because it opened my eyes to certain realities in Georgia concerning the ministry. I have to tell you, because he knew who Brother Jackson was. But the ordination of God determined that somebody else would bring out that revelation and share it with the world. Do you know what he said? That he knew Brother Jackson was the standard bearer, the chief apostle. But the book, He That Is to Come, only laid out the conviction he held in his heart. I tell you the truth. It is the same revelation he held. But it is sad to say, not every man who stood with Brother Jackson has a revelation, because I was at the 2004 Spring Convention, and Brother Jackson was there. Because the book, He That Is to Come, had been written, and because I had preached it right there at Faith Assembly in April, during the convention, declaring Brother Jackson as the chief apostle, and as the one to come, He That Is to Come, a brother, and I will mention his name tonight, Brother God Vendor, came and also preached. He said something, and that was the first time he would be making such an open confession on the platform. He was talking indirectly of the leadership role of Brother Jackson, he being the chief apostle. But he said, in the army, the military, you have a general. Why would we not have a chief apostle in the bright ministry? But he added, I will not call his name because of the people watching on the internet. He said, but you know who I am talking about. I was there. And I said to myself, oh my, you don't see it yet. You don't see it yet. You know why? Why in the Branham movement are we not afraid to stand on the platform and declare Brother Branham as Elijah of Malachi 4? Why would he be bold enough on the internet to declare Brother Branham as Elijah of today? And be ashamed that they to declare the identity of the chief apostle. It is because they never had the revelation of who he is, a revelation of his position. Because truth makes a man bold. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. And I said to myself, my brother, we will see if you truly see it. But look at it tonight. It is a different picture. Are they not the same people that are saying it is not the voice of Brother Jackson that made Faith Assembly a lighthouse? Then, what brought him from South Africa to Faith Assembly in the first place? What brought him? The contender piece he picked up, whose voice did it bear? Did it bear Brother Allen's voice, or was it the voice of Bob Thompson? That is hypocrisy, simply because the man is dead. You have got to see the plot. You have got to see the plot. Malachi 4 produces Ephesians 4, but in its divine order. There is a beginning office for it all. It starts with the chief. If there was a chief apostle then, there has got to be a chief apostle today. Listen to me, saints. Oh my! When you look at a grain of wheat, or a grain of corn, you can break down the chemistry of the corn. Take it to a laboratory. Let them analyze its chemical composition. To reproduce that corn, you have to sow that same corn. When it germinates, take the seed of it, break it down, take it to the laboratory. It will have the same chemical composition. It must, if it be the same seed. It will be exactly alike in every mini detail, if it be the same seed. At the end of time, you cannot overturn the divine ministry order, and neither will God give us the efficient ministry contrary to scriptural order. It must start with the chief apostle. You must have the chief. Why? The original seed had a chief. And if the pure seed is reproduced at harvest time, when God is bringing everything back to the original, there must again be that chief there, because that is the beginning point of the entire ministry. There had to be a Paul of today. No wonder Brother Branham in 1960, in the Exposition of the Seven Church Ages, page 172, paragraph 5, said, "The Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write concerning the bride of the end time." And what did he say? He said, "Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come future to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader." That gives you an end time type of Joshua and Paul's ministry. That is a witness of the Holy Spirit concerning the re-establishment of the office of the chief apostle to this age in 1960. The Holy Spirit again gave another witness in March 1963, the day he was preaching on the seventh seal, laid out in page 567, paragraph 4, of the Seven Seals book. He said, "It may be the time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we're expecting." Who is the person? The person he also spoke about in 1960. He that is to come. The Paul of today within the Ephesian ministry. That is why I have to ask, what is restoration? Remember, Brother Branham was ordained of God to restore the bride. What is restoration? What did Peter say in Acts 3 concerning the Jewish restoration? That Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restitution for the Jews does not involve the same things as restitution for us Gentiles. But Malachi also restores. The things to be restored are the things we lost. What are the things we lost? We lost the truth. We lost the ministry, the original ministry, outside of the divine nature, and the open display of the miraculous. And if we are restored, true restoration gives us back, first the truth, the pure unadulterated word, and then the original ministry next. Before we are perfected, in order to restore that divine nature of Christ, and before the full restoration of the open miraculous. Otherwise, forget about restoration. But did God not say, "I will restore"? It is not you restoring, and it is not us restoring, it is God Himself restoring. I will restore. Personal singular pronoun, will restore. Restoration is not of man. But as God's people, as bright saints, do you know what our attitude should be? We should simply rest on His word of promise, even as it is written, "He that believeth doth not make haste." He that believes, Isaiah says, does not make haste. If you believe, you will wait on God, for Him to fulfill His own promise and purpose. But the plot at the end time, as stated earlier on, started with Brother Branham, whose ministry message reproduced first the office of the chief apostle, he that is to come, Raymond Jackson. and we expected the chief apostle would be on ground to the rapture. But let me say this to the opposition at Faith Assembly. Are they trying to tell us that a man that writes on the prophecy concerning the one Brother Branham said would come is guilty because he wrote on it, and others who have the same expectation are guilty because they have the thought only in their heart and express it only vocally? Then I ask, what is faith? Does faith speak only of what is written and not what is believed in the heart? Does God not judge man by the things held in his soul? Is faith speaking only of what is written, and not what is believed in the heart? If I am guilty, it is obvious we are all guilty. But I can also say this tonight, unless you can show me a verse of Bible that deals with the lifespan of the man, the chief apostle, which I contradicted, or a prophetic utterance by a vindicated prophet and nullified concerning his lifespan, you cannot accuse me of error. Because there is no Bible which deals with the lifespan of the chief apostle, and there is no prophecy that dealt with his lifespan. So there is no Bible that has been contradicted. And you must realize, a man can speak on any issue by personal conviction. But as long as God hasn't shed light on it, God will not judge him for it. He doesn't. Brother Branham preached on the seals, prior to 1963. He took it the same way they are. Smith of the Seventh-day Adventist took it, and he was wrong. Yet, the angel of the Lord did not even rebuke him or correct him on it. And that is the prophet to this age. Why? Because God knew the hour hadn't come for the seals to be revealed. Hence, God did not rebuke him. God did not even say anything to the prophet on it. God just let it go. But when the day came, when the hour came for God to reveal the seals, did the angel of the Lord say, "Well, you know, you have to recant first, then I will give you afresh the true light of the seals"? He just came and laid the truth for the prophet. And neither did Brother Branham apologize for it. If you have problems with the revelation of He that is to come, that is your problem. You better walk in the light. Brothers and sisters, the issue is this. This issue is a matter of revelation. How come Brother Sugg sought to hear my side? I am sorry. I don't mean to take your time, but I am at home, and this is my family. But how come he acted fairly and reasonably? What wisdom moved Brother Suggs to know who fulfilled the prophetic statement the prophet to this age dropped? How come he was able to determine that the book, He That Is To Come, is about the revelation of the person who fulfilled the prophetic utterance Brother Branham made, and is not about the lifespan of the man? What wisdom moved him to make a decision to stand for the truth of He That Is To Come, knowing that the lifespan has nothing to do with the truth? And to think that that wisdom did not move other people. Yet they said they knew it all because they saw it all under Brother Jackson's ministry. And yet they saw nothing and know nothing. Saints of God, I have to say, there is a revelation that guides God's people, and by this revelation, this God-given vision, we are able to see things, and know what is right from what is wrong, and know what is acceptable from what is not, and know what to stand for, and what is right from what is wrong, and what not to stand for, and also to know what to fight for, and what not to fight for. Revelation stabilizes God's people. Peter taught the saints that John the beloved apostle would not die, wrongly quoting the words of Jesus Christ in support, and yet John died. Paul also told the young sisters not to marry, because time is short, only for him to change his stand on the same issue later, and yet they were guilty of error. Is it not in the Bible? Yes, it is in the Bible. How come God didn't say, come and recant? Paul, come and retract your statements. Peter, come and retract all those things you laid out concerning John being on ground to the rapture. But it is in your Bible. It is in mine. They, Brother Allen and Brother Bod, called Brother Jackson the star apostle to this age. I should have told them to also recant because he is not the star apostle. But there is no need for me to do that. It is enough that the truth of it has been pointed out for whoever would listen. Brethren, you must see the truth of He That Is To Come, because we have got to see the plot. The plot started with Brother Branham, but it didn't end with him, because the revelation of God, and the dealership of His Spirit, is continuous. God moved from dealing through Brother Branham after his death to the chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, and we expected him to be on ground till the very end. I did, and we all did. But the only crime Brother Ramos committed was that he put his own thoughts on paper. The rest of the people bore it as what they believed in their heart. And they're saying today that that excuses them because they did not write it, but only believed it. But that is dumb, because by your faith, you are excused or you are condemned. Faith is determined, not even merely by what you write, because faith is what is in your heart. What I write isn't going to go with me to heaven. Those writings are going to remain here. Those written truths don't go up, but the state of a person's heart. That is what God is going to use to determine his fate, because therein lies faith or unbelief, truth or error. It is foolishness to think that they are not going to be judged for what they hold in their heart, simply because they did not write it, even though they also voiced it openly. That is nonsense. Nonsense. Live from the platform, they said, "We all expected Brother Jackson to be here till the rapture." They even stood on the platform to tear down Corinna Glass for projecting her dream that Brother Jackson would pass away. These hypocrites. They better apologize to that sister. They better do. But the real issue is this. Now that Brother Jackson is dead, is that the end of the plot? No. He also pointed us forward. We are going to have apostles. It is God restoring. We have to look at the blueprint of the Bible and ask ourselves, when Paul passed off the scene, who took over from him? Who took over as a standard bearer? I cannot use my brain, and you cannot use your brain to determine the way forward. We have got to look at the blueprint. We must see the Bible pattern, the plot in the first church age. Who took over from Paul? Because I am going to zero in on this third move of God in my next message, for I want to show you something. I want to show you some things concerning the Ephesian church, the church that set the standard for all the ages, that POC church. Who took over from Paul? It was John. And if there was a John then, and there was a Paul then, and there is a Paul today, then there is going to be a John too. Paul's standard-bearing ministry was passed on to John, because it is not a one-man thing. But you still have to see the plot. You've got to see the plot. You've got to see the plot. Because we are coming, brothers, we are coming to the fullness of something. But there is a gradual accomplishment of something, as God is slowly and quietly positioning men in the ministry, starting first with apostles. You must realize that God is still the one leading the fivefold ministry. And church, I have to say therefore, the men all over this world that God will use to deal with the bride in this last move, in the apostolic office, are men that are highly revelated, extremely faithful, and most humble. They are men that must have an eagle eye in order to lead the universal ministry of the universal bride. As apostles, they must have clear thinking and a sharp revelatory mind. They must as such be able to determine where truth lays when an issue is laid on their laps. They must, in order to show the way of truth to the other folds of the Ephesian ministry. Otherwise, I would have to ask, what caliber of men do you think apostles are? What caliber? And I ask, if you cannot see an apostle God has established in this local assembly in your midst, what do you see? Because the brother has an eagle eye, and a serious dealing of God upon his life, in the light, and a firm and unwavering stand for truth, when men are compromising on every side. Who do you think he is? When you and I know the head must come together first, then what kind of men are you expecting apostles to be? Men with halos on their heads? No. Apostles are men that bear a clear revelation, having the ability to see when the other folds of the ministry do not yet see. I will tell you tonight, this ministry will be a very humble ministry. But church, what kind of ministry is this? Because something is fulfilled in the ministry of Brother Alvin Suggs. This is the starting of something, and I pray you have your eyes opened. I care less what people feel. I care less what they will do with the things I say. I care less for that. It is enough that it is the truth, and God will vindicate the truth, whether the people out there stand for it or not. Truth is truth, And truth will have the last say. We'll have the last say. But what kind of ministry is expressed before you in this assembly? It is an apostolic ministry. To be an apostle, you must have an eagle eye. Without an eagle eye, you cannot be an apostle. Because apostles are the guardians of the faith of Christ, and they must be able to spot the enemy in whatever deceptive move he makes, and warn the ministry, and in turn, warn the bride. As an apostle, you must have an eagle eye. Why? They are the eyes of the official ministry. But remember, this is not about a man. It is about truth, and of the grace invested in men, for the accomplishment of God's purpose. We are not here to play a game, and we are not here to pat one another on the back. But I lay before you the plan of salvation. It is a reality we are facing tonight. There will be a live ministry. It will not be the internet. It is a live ministry. I was telling them in East Chicago before Brother Jackson passed away that it would not be the internet, but that it is a live ministry, and further, that you will not use the internet ministry of Brother Jackson to take away the live ministry. And look at it today. I didn't even expect Brother Jackson to pass off the scene. No one expected it to happen. But God took him home. It will be live ministry. We have to believe the Bible. We have to believe what God says. Just believe it, because God is not asking you to fulfill it for Him, but that you believe it. You must believe. Church, I thank God tonight for His grace in my life. I thank God for His grace upon our lives. I thank God for this assembly. It is a beacon of light in this country. It is a beacon of light in the United States. It doesn't matter how much they look down upon you, and it doesn't matter how small or poor you are. It is your stand that matters. Let me put it this way. It is not the size of a dog that matters, but the size of the fight in the dog. No, it is not the size of a church. It is the revelation that propels the people that makes the difference, because at the end of the day, it is either God is dealing with you or not. Because if God is not dealing with you, what can you do? What can you do? And if God is dealing with you, what has money got to do with it? What has money got to do with it? What has it got to do with it? What has education got to do with it? Revelation is for the bride. The matter is, can you see the plot? There is a plot God has charted. We have got to see it. We have got to see the plot, because you are looking at the logistics. Tonight, I want you to know, there are logistics for the ministry. They are denying it, but I lay it before you as a springboard for my message. There are logistics. You have got to see the plot. Can you see the plot? You have got to see the plot. They do not see the plot out there. And that is why tonight, they have been stripped of the truth they said they believed in. They never saw the plot, because what they are singing tonight amounts to tearing down the blueprint of the scriptures. What does that let you see? They don't see the plot. It is because they have no revelation. We are no better. It is the grace of God that makes the difference in our lives. There is nothing I said tonight to look down on anybody, because it is the grace of God in our own lives. And there is nothing I have said tonight out of bitterness, because there is no basis for bitterness. You know why? When God plants your feet upon the rock, and you know what you are standing for, is the only thing heaven will vindicate. What can move you? You would have to look at the opposition and pity them. You would have to pity them because they know not what they do. If they knew, they would not go down that route. They are to be pitied. They are objects of pity. You don't need to be annoyed with them. You don't need to be mad at them. They need to be pitied. But they don't know that, but you do. I pray God will deliver them. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed. May God bless you. Amen.